Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney, back from a holiday fresh and ready to hopefully find us a few winners as we lead into San Domenico Stakes Day at Rosehill Gardens. I'm about to bring in Ray Hickson here, and firstly, we'll just go over the track. Ray also is out 6 metres, just past data. When they does get out that far, for me personally, off my data, look, it's probably an advantage to be up on the speed. That lanes 1 and 2 is a plus. You can draw wide, go forward, and they perform above market expectation. But with that said, the rail last time was in the 6, played quite fairly. So I don't want to go in with too much of a preconceived ideas, but always have that in the back of the mind. Maybe hard making that long, light sweeping run.
Yeah, the Rosehill particularly has been playing quite fairly, regardless of the rail position in the last, well, through the winter. And looking outside, it's a nice day. We're probably going to get a good track again tomorrow. So at this point, I'd suggest that, look, I think I said this when I talked with Brody a couple of weeks ago about Rosehill. You know, when you get Rosehill a good track, generally in the shoot races, you know, 1200 metre races, it doesn't hurt to be on the speed. The longer races, it's probably a little bit more tempo related, but you know, as you do with every day, you start expecting a fair track and you adjust as the day goes on. We saw that last week at Randwick where they got off the fence.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. All right, let's start with the San Domenico, Ray. Firstly, mate, which way are you leading? Obviously, we have the favourite, as I just, sorry, get up the tab market for tomorrow, but could you just go speed? Did you see plenty of speed?
Well, the Gaywater House and Adrian Botstable will probably dictate the speed to some degree. They've got the instructor introducing and Butch Cassidy all there, introducing, and the instructor will 1-2 in the Rosebud a couple of weeks ago, so I'd imagine that would be fairly similar. We've got a couple of wild cards, I guess. What do they do with Firestar? Moravia showed a bit of speed in its first start. Corniche has drawn well to be sort of thereabouts. The likes of Libertad and Kandinsky Abstract have probably got some decisions to make. They probably have to go back, given that they're going to have to burn rubber, really, to get past a couple of those Waterhouse Bot runners up there early. So, you know, we've probably still got to get through a scratching or two. It's looking likely Barber will come out. I would expect this to be truly run, though, with those Waterhouse Bot runners.
Yeah, and as I do get up the market finally, the instructor, $4.80, is the favourite. Corniche has been really well backed early doors, now into $5. It's starting to trend the way of possibly starting favourite. And for me personally, I've got Corniche on top. I think this might be a bit of a target race by the stable. I really liked its first preparation. From a ratings perspective, it just took a step every single start, and it went out on a career peak figure, actually beat Shinzo, the Group 1 Golden Slipper, as we all know. And I just really like when they go out winning on their that career peak. Comes back. I loved its trial the other day, but behind Zapateo on a really fast time heat. Nash goes on, good map. I think it's there's $5 it's found now. I think the early doors, the $8, was a pretty good bet. But I'm going to lean towards Corniche, and there is one that I want to throw out there. It's Firestar. Now, it ran very fast time at Wyong on debut. It started at $1.40. It comes back to the 1,100 metres. Just fits a really strong profile around that Rosehill 1,100 metres. And just the way I do my figures, I've seen this before. A horse like it can come to town against its own age and shape up. And there were 71s into 31s to 26s, I believe, now. So there's a little bit of market support there. So for me, they're probably the two I'm going to play in the race, but it's a very wide-open race. But who'd you go on top, Ray?
Firestar is interesting. It has had the run at 1,200 metres. The runner-up was beaten at Kensington during the week. But, look, you can't quantify improvement sometimes in these young horses. So, look, I'm also with Corniche. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts favourite. Look, you've said a lot about his first preparation. He ended up beating Shinzo, and I thought beat him reasonably fair and square. Shinzo obviously continued to improve. That was in the Skyline. Shinzo ran in the Pago and the Golden Slipper after that. Corniche was really good in his first trial back on the 17th of July. Then he was a month between trials, which I thought was interesting. But I thought he trialed a little better than Libertad, who's also in this race in that trial. So I've got him on top. I think he's a very good chance to kick off, or to pick up where he left off and put himself in the picture for some of these better races.
Okay, the head-to-head comes in race 5. Smashing Eagle versus Extravagant Star. Now, they're very close in the market as I get it up now. With Smashing Eagle has now been backed into favourite, $3.30, and Extravagant Star pushing that 5 to 2, $3.50 mark at the time of record. And Ray, did you see one of those two winning this, or did you see something more out wide?
No, I was pretty keen on Smashing Eagle last start, and he got the job done, and I saw no reason to jump off him.
Just half the odds.
Well, yeah, the odds aren't quite as good. Look, Hard to Say has come out of this race, which was one of the likely on paces. There still looks to be enough speed there for a horse like Smashing Eagle to settle back and come with that one run. I had a chat with Tyler Schiller yesterday, and you know, the turn of foot that he showed to win the other day was breathtaking, and led Tyler to say that, you know, when's he going to run in a stakes race? Well, yeah, that's the kind of turn of foot he's got. That's the kind of sprint he's got. He's a back marker, so he's going to rely on the race opening up for him like it did last time, but I had to stick with him. Extravagant Star, look, went into the wilderness, didn't she?
Yeah.
She looked like being a really smart two-year-old, and in her early days, she just completely went missing in the last 12 months. Better run first up for Kieran Maher and David Eustace behind Secaution over 1,000 at Warwick Farm. She had 60.5 there. She drops to 55.5, and J-Max stays on, so that's pluses for her. She's going to have the tactical ability. She'll be in front of Smashing Eagle in the run.
Yeah.
It comes down to how the race pans out, whether you can run on. It'll be race 5, so we'll have some idea by then. But as it stands now, I had to stick with Smashing Eagle. The horse that I'm interested in as a danger is Espresso.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent behind Hard to Say in that midway. Obviously, he has to step out of midway company now. But he also gets that soft run just up on the speed. But as I said, I'm going to stick with Smashing Eagle.
Yeah, we're on the same page again. Corniche into Smashing Eagle. Just firstly on Extravagant Star. Well, I'm Mark Smashing Eagle, clear favourite. But I thought Extravagant Star was wide and it was okay there. But it was a very slow tempo. So look, I probably thought it should have beat Secaution that day. It was well fancied as well. So at the 1,000, has to step to the 1,100 metres now. So I just didn't really want to take the $3.50. But I thought Smashing Eagle deserves to be favourite coming off that last start win. It faces a very similar task. Yes, up 2.5 kilos. But I think it overcame the race shape. It was only moderate tempo last start. I think there's more speed here. I think it's only going to suit more. As you said before, it's got a great turn of foot. Ran some of the fastest closing splits of the meeting, as you would expect there. And I think it's just improved every start this preparation. Like, its run behind Omni-Man was fantastic, and then against Mogo Magic, where it had excuses. Mm. So all it has to do is reproduce last start, and I think it'll be winning. All right, the fly in the ointment comes the shortest price favourite of the day as we speak, is race 3. Number 8, Marquess, for James Cummings. James McDonald rides approximately $2.30 at the current moment with the scratching of, was it?
Watego,
yes.
To run in the Mooloolaba Cup.
That's right. Ray, how did you see this race? Or firstly, on Marquess.
Well, Marquess, I was kind of hoping Watego stayed in there. To be honest, I had Marquess as my best on the day. And I'm not going to shy away from that. The price is a little bit less, but I just loved the idea of Marquess sitting right behind what he goes, peeling off his back, coming around the home turn and finishing like he did when he won first up. He's an untapped horse, he's lightly raced, he's still coming through the grades. Listening to James Cummings talk about him during the week suggests that, you know, he's got the scope to go a little bit further than 1,500 metres. He's come through the run really well. As I said, he has to jump up in class. He was a five-year-old plus benchmark 72, so very restricted at Warwick Farm. But he did sit back, he powered the line and just monstered, really, his rivals. It was such a soft win. Barrier 1 is fine for him because you look back through his previous form and he's been able to have the tactical speed to be right on the pace. So I'd imagine even with Watego's coming out, the likes of perhaps Danish Prince, Tate and Swayze taking up the running, he should still be able to be that third, fourth in the run, put himself into the clear, and if he is going to go on to better races, he needs to be beating these.
Yeah, that's good point. It's actually a really interesting horse for me to probably just have a look at. I'm going to tip against it only because of the 5-4, the 220, but I completely respect your opinion there about it. It was visually very impressive, wasn't it? Look, the clock was okay, but you just know that this horse is going to step off that performance. But I had to go looking elsewhere because of the price. And for me, I actually like a horse called Fujita San. And it's coming out of that Bruno race where it went really good against the day. I know it was run to suit, but I just don't think the 1200 suited there first up. Second up, I'm expecting big improvement. I would have loved to have been 1400, the 12 to 15s. Maybe just that little bridge too far second up, but it gets the senior rider on with Jason Collett, barrier four. I think it's going to run a really good race, and it's about $6.50 now, so I think it's a good each way bet for Fujita San. But no knock on the favourite, Marquess. And there's other horses in this like Priscilla Styler, Grand Shadows. They've just burnt me too many times in the past. So for me, I'm going to go Fujita San there.
Yeah, I was on him actually. I did tip him first up, and I thought he was all right. It was a little bit of support. You would have liked to have seen a little bit more, but he trialled really well leaning in. And yeah, the 1200, as it turned out, was too short for him. So I guess what the connections and everybody want to find out about Fujita San is what kind of horse he is.
Yep.
I mean, he's been in Coffer Guineas, Victoria Derby, up to 2,500 metres. His lone win was at 1,400 metres. This is his first preparation as a gelding. I guess everyone's still learning about him, so this will go a long way to telling you what type of horse we're dealing with, because he's got a good draw, he's in the right grade.
Yep.
Everything sort of suggests that he's going to run a good race, and now it's over to him.
Yeah, he's Group 3 placed, and there's just too much in the price. He just might go bang on Saturday, and I'm happy to find out at the current quote to see if he can do that, and I'm hoping so. But it looks a really good race, actually, the third. It's there's been horses up for a while now in this winter time, and then there's a couple of fresh blood. So it's a really good race three, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's go to the rapid fire, mate. You're over the odds for Saturday.
Okay, the over the odds, I went with race 9, number 4, Mission Phoenix.
Yep.
I tried to talk myself out of him for a while because I think he's probably ultimately looking for more than 1,400 metres.
Yeah.
But I thought there was good merit in his first up run behind Pericles and Madame Pomeroy, which is a really good form reference. I think that's probably a slightly stronger race, even though it's a similar grade, a benchmark 100. Joe Pride, I think, has got this horse going really well. He won second up last preparation. There looks to be enough speed here, I thought, to enable him to just hopefully flow into the race a little bit better, because he hit a flat spot before, I thought, attacking the line quite well. He started $15. I think he was around $10 last time I looked.
Yeah.
I thought, we're probably entitled to be a tick or two shorter. So he's the one I've got marked as over the odds.
Yep. Yeah, for me, the over the odds, I couldn't help myself. I've had to put in two here. Now, they're both second picks on my tips, but I just think they're really good. If there's someone out there who likes backing one at like big odds. So race 1, number 11, Snap Book for Donna Scott. It's one that, it's got an SP, $6.50 against Bianco Villano, who I've got a massive opinion of. I've always liked that horse. Back to a good track, Karen McAvoy on for the first time. So that's one if you're looking for around that $20 to $30 mark. And as we spoke about before, I've had to have something on Firestar at the big odds. Just the history tells me it can come to town and measure up, and I'm hoping so if that Rose Hill 1100 metre profile. But the under the odds, mate, I don't want to be against you for your best bet. It was just purely the $2.20 that just steered me away. I was closer to $3 personally, so I've got to stick to my prices.
Well, in my defence, Watergoes was still in the field when I made their best bet, so it's probably a little bit shorter. But my under the odds, I'm going to stay with the same race that I made my over the odds. So I think Colino I want to take on here.
Yeah.
He's an honest horse, we all know that. I don't think he's backed up before in his career.
No, he hasn't.
He was a little disappointing, ridden right up on the pace there in the show county. Obviously, that was a Group 3 on a soft 7 track. But he just didn't look comfortable at all. And, he's going back up to 1,400 metres now. I just wonder whether he's that sprinting type, and whether 1,400 metres on a backup might be a bridge too far. So I just thought he was a bit under the odds, and I'd almost expect him to drift, because I think there's a few horses here that'll attract support. So Colino for me.
Yeah, well, I agree. Look, I don't think he liked being outside the leader in that two position, but to take the $3.20, look, if I'm taking $3.20, I've got to be pretty confident with my bet, and it's not one that would be that confident. So I agree. Like, I went looking elsewhere in that race. I'm going to go the out wide. I've got a couple best out wide a bit later, but if we're going to go all the way to Monday at Bathurst, race three, number two, Galactic Angel. Look, just forget its last start. Start before that, it's coming through some really strong, high-rating provincial races. Barrier one at Bathurst, I think you can just ping straight to the front and be very hard to run down. I think it's $3.20 at the moment. I think that's a really good bet. There's a first starter in it as well as trialled okay, but I'm really happy to be with you. There's some good form lines there. But you're out wide, mate, doing the form Sunday Wyong?
Yeah, Wyong's not too far wide, is it?
Yeah.
Look, the horse I actually quite liked, and it might be an out wide slash trial performer here. Race one, number 11, Count Your Blessings, trained by John O'Shea. It's also accepted for Kem LaGrange on Saturday, where it's drawn quite wide. I suspect you'll probably go to Wyong with this horse. It's had a couple of trials. The latest one I really liked. It was behind Masook and Professor Pickles, who are horses that are maidens, at Randwick just over a week ago. And it just, James McDonald rode it, just sat in behind them and just trucked to the line quite nicely. I think John O'Shea has found a nice race for this filly up at Wyong. It'll be interesting to see how the field actually makes up, because there's a couple of horses here that are dual accepted.
Yeah.
Ducasse is accepted for the up and coming. It's currently favourite for this Wyong maiden, but it's drawn the outside in this maiden, it's drawn the inside at Rose Hill, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But Count Your Blessings, race one, number 11. At the moment, it was around about the $11 mark. I'd expect, particularly if Ducasse comes out, it'll be a little bit shorter, but I expect it to run well.
Okay, and obviously, you can get a lot of Ray's actually trial reports through the Race New South Wales website, where he's been seeing them like beach balls. They tell me when I've been away on holiday. So
some beach balls.
But just quickly back on that Bathurst race, race three, number two, it's Galactic Mist, not Galactic Angel. Galactic Mist.
Just talking about trialers as well, I want to mention one. Hasty Honey is a horse that's resuming in the up-and-coming stakes. And in one of those trial reports, I actually sort of half-begged Brad Widdop to throw in a maiden somewhere, because she'd just be winning one. She is. Her trials will say 6th of 7 and 6th of 9, but go and have a look at them. They're outstanding. She's absolutely flying, I think, this filly. She's had one start in the Woodland Stakes up at Scone, a listed race, where she ran a big effort to be beaten a length and a bit by Hip Hip Hurrah there and Dipsy Doodle. A good quality two-year-old race.
Well, that's $101.
It's $101. Look, it's probably not the right race, but don't be surprised if she's hitting the line nicely. Don't be surprised if she's pulled out. She's drawn barrier 10.
Yeah.
And they do find a maiden for her, but she is a filly that will win a race somewhere.
Yep.
May not be tomorrow, but I think she's a horse that you just want to throw in that little black book or whatever reminder you have in your accounts and keep an eye on her.
Well, one thing I will say, $101, just have something on it, number one, and number two, put in your quaddies and exotics, because if it lobs, you won't be able to look at yourself.
I won't
in
forgive
the mirror.
Myself.
Yeah, so you just don't even think about it, just do it. Sectional start for me, we spoke about this horse, Smashing Eagle, just as we spoke about, it's turn of foot, broke 11, last four to the two, broke 11 the last 200. So it was obviously some of the fastest closing splits in the meeting. And I just think it's probably one, this might be its run before it goes out for a spell, or one more, you'd probably think. And then I think you can get the chocolates on there on Saturday. And it's going really good, Smashing Eagle. So I'm happy to be with it again. And did you have one, Ray, or is that...
Well, not really. I mean, there are a couple of horses that I've noticed over the last couple of weeks. So one of them, which I don't have on top in my numbers, but is certainly going to be going in the mix in the midway, in the early quaddy. So I'll definitely be putting him in. It's Casual Connection, trained by John Sargent.
Yep.
Ran 9th of 11 behind Straight Acer in a midway a couple of weeks ago. Didn't get warm until the last 200, and he ran the fastest last 200 metres of the race. Which says he's come back well, 1,800 metres. He might be one more run, but he's one that's going to be going in the early quaddy, and wouldn't be surprised at each way odds if he lobs into the placings.
Alrighty, it comes to the time of our best bets over the whole entire weekend. Ray, I'll let you kick off, mate. What are you, the best that's going to get us all some
well,
cash?
I mean, you've poured a little bit of cold water on it, but Mark Quest was the best for me at Rose Hill. Other horses I'm interested in Electrica in the midway.
Yep.
And Look, Call Die is one that disappointed me a little bit first up, but going back and looking over, this is in race six, she kind of fell to pieces a little bit pre-race, and Gerald Ryan did warn that that's probably not quite her. She was a slight drifter in the market, still started favourite, sat outside the leader and did look the winner. But Powerful Peg got over the top of her late. I think she'll turn the tables there. There's a weight swing. Nashua Willer on board. I think this is a horse that can go back to stakes company.
Yep.
So if she's going to do that, she needs to go one better in this field. So that would be the other one. So Marquess and Call Die, I'd say, were my two best.
Yeah, well, my best at Rose Hill, I'm in that race six, number 10. I'm with How Good Are You. Now, I was overseas, and you can't access your tab app overseas, Ray, and I've been waiting for this horse because I loved its second to Kangaroo Court, so I couldn't back it at the Kensington, so I want to back it there on Saturday. I've got a lot of time for this horse. I think it's a real improver. I know it had all favours there last start, but I liked how it just kept responding in its last couple of bounds. There was a lot of merit in its last 200 metres against the race in itself, so I think you can bounce again. Tim Clark on, goes forward, might be hard to catch, but I thought Call Die was the only danger. I thought it was two hopes, and I'm happy to be with How Good Are You. And two at Kembla, race seven, number 10, Orzala. I think it's a Wednesday minimum metropolitan grade horse. Thought it was a nice return there first up at Newcastle. And race eight, number 8, Miss Cooper, I thought was outstanding there first up on debut for Anthony Cummings. I think this horse is one definitely for the future. I really like Miss Cooper. It's got to jump 1,200 to 1,600. It's the only little concern. But it just possesses a lot of attributes that I like, especially on its debut with the figure it's come in on. But so the recapping, the three best for me over the weekend, race six, number 10, How Good Are You at Rose Hill. And at Kembla too, I'm really keen on. They're probably the ones I want to give the biggest push for is race seven, number 10, Orzala, and race eight, number 8, Miss Cooper.
Miss Cooper was all legs when she won that race at Newcastle. That was a visiting Indian jockey, Siraj Naradu's first winner in New South Wales, and he's got a few rides over the weekend. The horse that Miss Cooper beat, actually, Global Empire, is going around at Wyong on Sunday, so hopefully that form stands up. Like we said at the start, look, this weekend, hopefully we can have a win, because it's all rolling towards the Everest from next week on with the Concord Stakes, and bring it on.
Yeah, no, it's exciting time of year. It's good to be back and ready to get stuck into it, because all of a sudden it will be Everest Day. Thanks for everyone listening on in, and good luck if you're having a bet out there tomorrow at Rose Hill or Kembla, and good luck.
Or anywhere else you're punting.
Yes, that's right.